a preemptive strike against machines that decide when to end a human life.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday the 13th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week, a debate is heating up at the Convention on Conventional Weapons in Geneva. It's about when and whether we will outsource to machines not just the act of killing, but also the act of deciding when to kill. Sounds a little sci-fi, right? Science, yes. Fiction, not really. Tech critic Molly Wood.
Some estimates are that we could have fully autonomous war machines operating in battlefields within 20 to 30 years. The technology to have at least semi-autonomous machinery exists now.
Let me play you some sound from the kind of thing Wood is talking about. The MK-15 Phalanx close-in weapon system. This is a gun mount on aircraft carriers today. The nickname of the MK-15, by the way, is R2-D2. The gun can search, detect, track, and make a kill assessment. That last one is part of why organizations like Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International are worried. Just last month, almost 300 industry researchers from 37 countries also signed a statement backing a ban on using weapons that fire without human decision-making. The convention is expected to decide this week whether to take up the issue next year. A company called Sandvine put out a report on internet traffic this week. One major takeaway, 50% of traffic in North America this year will come from just two places, YouTube and Netflix. I recently met up with Chris Jaffe, the VP of Product Innovation for Netflix. He showed me the company's fully revamped user experience.
So here it gives you, for example, for Orange is the New Black, some information about the creator of the show, Jenji Cohen.
And there's a little like director's chair there, and you just switched it, and now I see like a trophy.
For House of Cards, because it was the winner of three Emmys.
Starting today, people who watch Netflix on smart TVs and some gaming consoles will begin to see more pictures for the shows they watch, reviews from friends, and more. Company heads think the new design will keep streaming subscribers glued to the screen.
Big part of what we do is we measure, and we've done a lot of testing around this, and we've had hundreds of thousands of folks who have been using this experience since late April. And so we know that they watch more, and we know if people watch more, then that helps drive the business.
It seems like data is so important as a compass for Netflix.
I think that it's important as a compass, but at some point, a lot of this comes down to trying to make smart choices and bets around what you think the future of these experiences goes, building those things and then testing them. And that's the second way you use data, to prove out those ideas and to kind of look beyond the existing assumptions of how things work. So whether it's something like creating a new product like this or launching an original series with all episodes at once, we're trying to always keep challenging all of those assumptions all the time.
Chris Jaffe is the Vice President of Product Innovation at Netflix. Chris, thank you very much, man.
Thank you very much.
Randy Zuckerberg has two new books out. Yes, That Zuckerberg, as in Mark's older sister. The kid's book is called Dot. The one for grown-ups is called Dot Complicated. Both tackle the modern challenges of balancing real life with encroaching technology. You might say a strange idea from a person who used to work for what might be one of the largest social network time sucks on the planet. She might say it's just positive inspiration. Randy Zuckerberg, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's really a pleasure to be here.
You kind of advocate for this balance in both the use of new technology, but also the amount of yourself that you reveal with that technology, right?
I do. And I really believe that the glass is definitely half full when it comes to the benefits that technology and social media have given to us. But on the other hand, there's a backlash against some of these tools and a desire to reclaim a little bit more intimacy and personal time in our lives again.
So how do you do that?
For me, I take at least a few hours in the morning and in the evening to just think, go to the gym, be with my family, and make sure that I'm giving myself that time to be creative.
Now, and I assume, of course, you're not playing Candy Crush or on Facebook while you're at the gym, right?
It's very funny you say that. I'm actually a recovering Candy Crusher right now, but I always joke one of my favorite status updates is when I see a parent complaining about how much time their kids spend playing video games, and then their next update is, just beat level 800 on Candy Crush.
Fair enough. Well, I hope you have the best of luck in your recovery. I want to ask you one more question, which is, I think there is sort of a bubbling conversation about how Silicon Valley in some ways feels separate from the rest of the world or the rest of the country. Do you feel tension there?
You know, I absolutely do agree with you that Silicon Valley definitely has a very different perspective on things than the rest of the country. I think for me, that's why it was so important to write Dot Complicated, because when I was in the thick of things in Silicon Valley, all I thought about was, what are we disrupting right now? What are we innovating? Which industry are we breaking? And when I picked my head up, I realized, gosh, the tools that we're building that we think are so innovative and disruptive are just causing so many people to feel overwhelmed and complicated around the world. And that I think that's what really led me on this journey.
Randi Zuckerberg is the author of Dot and Dot Complicated. Randi, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And before we go, I'm starting my Christmas list today. At the top, the Inform Morphing Table from MIT's Media Lab uses a huge grid of tiny square pins that replicate the movements of your own hands or other items picked up by a Kinect motion detector in real time. You've got to see this thing to believe it. Video's on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.